buy 40. So that's pretty good. Now, if I can buy 40, I know you can buy some. And the school, Brandy School over there, they bought 20 or 30. They bought 30. Wasn't it? How many did they buy? Where'd she go? They bought either 20 or 30. Maybe 20. And so that's good for them kids, the money they had. So praise the Lord. So we're going to buy 300. So that's not that many. That's 230 chairs, 240 more chairs. Right? So praise the Lord. You can help us do that. 40 chairs is what, $250? Use a figure, Barry. That's 2,000. I like Todd was in here figuring up one day how much chairs are going to be, and he said that'd be $1,200. I said, I like the way you figure, buddy. I think you left off a zero. But so praise the Lord. So help us buy these chairs. Amen. We can do it like a Baptist church. Everybody buys a chair, their own chair. And if you don't buy your chair, you can't come in. You have to stand up till you buy one. We put your name on it or whatever you want. Take a magic mark and write your name on it. We got new carpet, but we'd already had that down. We was going to put it down next week, but they sent the wrong color. So we had to reorder that, and we're going to get that. It's a gray, and we're getting like a gray chairs. Be pretty, won't it? Praise the Lord. You have to. It's the house of the Lord. It's God's place. Make it look nice. Keep it looking nice. Keep it clean. Hallelujah. Whatever God gives you, you take care of it. Make it look good. Keep it clean. Have a spirit of excellence. Have a heart of excellence. No matter where it's at, you can make it look nice. The outside, you know. The Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 10 that the Queen of Sheba came to see Solomon. And she came in and she's coming in the driveway. I like to refer to it the driveway. And by the time she got to where she met Solomon inside the house, she had no more spirit left in her, she said. Because she said, when I saw the coming in of your palace, and I saw your servants, how they looked, how they dressed, how they acted, and I saw how excellent everything was. I saw the driveway, how it looked, everything neat. And she said, there was no more spirit in me, and the half has not been told. Now, she was so impressed how the place looked. So impressed how the place looked that she was overtaken. Now, that's the Queen of Sheba. Now, if you can impress a queen, then you're doing a good job. Amen. I've been in churches, nice buildings, but just dirty, nasty. They need it painted, need it cleaned up. There's no sense in that. And I'd tell the pastor, I'd say, why don't you... paint, clean up, fix spark lot. You know, the building needs painting outside. You know what most of them say? Oh, you can't get people to do nothing. I say, what's wrong with you? You know, usually people will follow you. If they don't, then, you know, I'm going to make it look good, but I have to do it all myself. And you got a whole bunch of lazy people, freeloaders, they'll leave after a while. You don't have food with them. Or you out there going home. It's God's house, y'all make it look good. Your house, y'all make it look good. God gave it to you. Y'all make it look good, look nice. If you don't, he won't give you nothing else. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. So people say, well, we need new carpet. Well, we need new chairs. Because we want to. The only answer I got, because it makes it look better, refreshes it, and it makes it look nicer. Amen. Why you paint your house? Why you buy new furniture? The old furniture wasn't broke down. Why do you get a new car? Why do you go in debt to buy stuff? What about God's house? What about God's stuff? Amen? God got on them one time and he said, you're wondering why you work real hard and it don't seem like your paycheck goes anywhere and you can't make ends meet and you're always, no matter how hard you work, you're still in debt and you can't ever get ahead and you're always trying to catch up. You know what he told them? He said, consider my house. Consider my house. And what they were doing, they were spending their money all on their house and was letting the house of God run down. And he said, because of that, it was like, he said, I caused it to be like buckets or bags with holes in it. No matter what you put in it, I caused it to run out because you were ignoring my house and you were ignoring my temple. You were ignoring my kingdom. And there's a principle here. You put God first, he'll put you first. You take care of God's stuff, he'll take care of your stuff. That's a principle. Now, if you'll catch that, you won't have to worry about it. I've tried it, tested it over the years. Over the years, I've done that. Sometimes I'd be saving up money to buy something, and I'd give it to the church, give it to a special need or something going, and God would meet that need and give me what I was saving up for a whole lot better than I was saving up to buy. It'd be twice as good as what I was going to buy. So many times that's happened to me. And because I put him first. I put him first. And he put me first. Amen? And it works. It works. Praise the Lord. Well, praise God. Before I leave this earth, some of you are going to get it. Look with me in the book of the Bible. Let's look over in Hebrews chapter 2, the book of Hebrews. We've been talking about why we're here on this earth. And God left us here to rule and reign, right? He left us here, and if you think about it, we're working for God. We're in God's kingdom now. We were brought out of the kingdom of darkness and translated over into his kingdom, and we're in God's kingdom now. And this is just one phase of God's kingdom. When you die and go on to glory, that'll still be God's kingdom. That's just another level, another place, another grade of it. So we're in eternity now. When you die, you're not entering into eternity. You're in eternity now. You now have eternal life in you. It's not in your body yet. That's why you'll get a new body. But you're in God's kingdom now. And you're working now for God. And what you work now, I already established that. The way you work now and what you're doing will determine your position, your place, your authority or your rulership and the advancement of the kingdom. You're just advancing. You're working your way up. So we're already in God's kingdom working. What if nobody in the church or in God's kingdom had any initiative whatsoever to do anything? What if everybody said, well, God's in charge. We don't have to do anything. We don't have to. Talking about the house, we don't have to paint the walls. We don't have to make it look good. We don't have to buy new chairs. We don't have to get new carpet. We don't have to do anything. What would get done? Nothing. God's house or God's kingdom would be the worst looking place on the earth. It'd be worse than a third world country. It'd be almost as bad as California. I mean, you think about it. I've had people in this church and come in this church. If everybody was like them, we'd have to close. You couldn't run the church if everybody was like them. They don't tithe. They don't give as tippers. They'd give $10 every time they come, maybe, or $20. And that's all they'd ever give. Well, how are you going to run anything like that? How are you going to build churches? How are you going to mission fields? How are you going to buy cars and James Jeeps and tanks for missionaries? How are you going to help Bible schools? How are you going to pay for the pastors or something to help preach? Who's going to do that? It costs money. You know that. It costs money to run your house. It costs money to run your business. What if everybody that you hired in your business just have the attitude, they don't have no, that's not anything to me. That guy's the one getting the money, you know. He's the one got all the money. We don't care if we do anything or not. We're not going to work hard. We're not going to make him any money. We don't care. You close your business. And, of course, that's the way it is kind of in America now. You can't hardly find anybody to work, especially labor. We've created a lazy society, a lazy generation. They don't have any initiative, don't have any ambition. They don't want to climb to the top. God set that up for a reason. If everybody lost their ambition, I've been to all over the world. I've been to a lot of third world countries. They all are the same. I don't care what nationality they are. They all are the same. They all have the same attitude. They get up of a morning. If you used to have service, you say, we're going to start service at 7 o'clock. Well, it don't make any difference to them. You might as well have said 10 o'clock. You might as well have said 4 o'clock. They don't care. They just come when they want to. They're never on time about anything. You say, meet me somewhere, they don't care. They just go around, you know. And why? Because nothing ever changes. It don't matter how hard you work, you get the same thing. There's nothing really to do. It's a poor country. Most of them are socialist nations. So there's no reason to have any ambition. Because no matter what you do, it's still the same. So what difference it make? Why do we need to come to church? Why do we need you to preach aggressive? Why do you need to tell us all this? And you try to get them to believe the Bible and tell them, listen, if you'll give and you'll have faith and believe God, he'll change your life. He'll change your house. He'll change your nation. And they all think this way. Yeah, but you don't understand. We're poor people. We don't have nothing. And they all are looking for Americans to help them and to give them money. They're all the same. And that's what you get. No ambition. It don't matter about the church. You know, I build them and they'd let them be destroyed. You know, every once in a while you find a good pastor, good ambition, take care of stuff. But a lot of them, you know, we built one church for a fellow and he sold it. Yeah, well, first of all, he turned it into a house and rented it for a long time. Then he finally sold it. Left the country. Well, you know, he'll have to see God one day. But, you know, what if we was all like that? I mean, what? Nobody said, we can give, we can do, we can reach the top, we can do more, we can be more. Well, you can do that in America. But it'll work anywhere. The church can change that anywhere. But what if we all just like that? You couldn't keep the lights on. If we, everybody here, just if I went, by what everybody just wanted to give. If God just said in his Bible, you know, just everybody, if you want to give something, give something. If you don't want to give something, don't give anything. And some Christians believe that. But that's a doctrine of convenience for them. And a lot of them say, well, I don't believe in tithing. And I told one guy, come here, you know, he's supposed to be rich, you know. I said, that's a nice doctrine for you. I said, if I run my home like you, I said, you ought to grown up with my dad. You know, you just stay at the house. We'll go to the field and we'll work. and you just sit on the porch and rock, and we'll make all the food, and we'll milk all the cows, and we'll do all the work, and you just belly up to the table come supper time and just eat all you want, and you don't contribute nothing. How you going? My daddy'd run you off. My mama would really run you off. Daddy, mama, she'd have got rid of you. I seen her. We lived in a little old shack, and the front porch a little high. She threw, it's her first cousin. He's a big old guy. He'd weigh 250 pounds at least. She got him with a shirt and a bag and a seat of the pants and threw him out the front door off the front porch. Put him down the road. He wouldn't work, wouldn't do nothing. And he'd tell Mama, he'd say, fix me a pot of beans or fry me a chicken. And she put up with that for about a week. Then one day, she boiled over. That's the way my mama was, you know. She'd boil over. And she did, you better head for high ground. And she grabbed him, throwed him out in the yard. But well, everybody was a freeloader in church. Well, we couldn't do nothing. God's that smart. So he set up a 10% payment plan. 10%. He said, now I'll bless you and give you 90%, and you run your life on 90%, and I'll bless that 90%, and I'll increase that 90%, and that 90% is yours, and if you'll give me part of your 90%, then I'll bless that 90%, and I'll cause it to grow. But he said, now that 10% belongs to me. That's to run my house. That's the reason God set that up. Amen? You can't live anywhere rent-free. Except some people in church, you know. They're freeloaders. Are you out there? They don't contribute nothing. But they get a free meal. But God set up the kingdom. Jesus said, I'll build my church. So he built his church, and he called us into this church, and he gives us ambition and goals to, he told us, now, I'm going to give you authority. You take this authority, and you go into all the world, and you make disciples out of nations. Nations means ethnic groups or people. Every ethnic group or people you find, you disciple them. And you spread my kingdom, and you cause my kingdom to expand in all the world. That's what he told Adam. You go in the garden and you cause that garden to grow and you increase and you expand it and you'll start having children and you teach those children and they'll have children and more children and my kingdom will grow and my family will grow and we'll spread out to all the earth and the earth will be yours. That's what we're supposed to do. But that only works if we work. That's what God gave Adam. That's what he gave him, a job. First thing he did, he gave him a job. He gave him a job before he gave him a wife. Then he gave him a wife and told her to help him work. And and he said, during in your work and all that, he said, now I'll come down to cool the day and we'll talk and fellowship and all of that. But the main objective of man was to work and replenish the earth. Now, we call it the kingdom of God or the church. Our job is to spread this gospel, this church, all over the world. And work as hard as we can all of our life and use everything available to us to cause this kingdom to expand. And I'm using every bit of effort I can with every gift I have, every ability I have, with every talent he's given me to do that. And so I don't have many talents. I don't know if I got any. I have, they're hidden. But I've used everything I have. And most of it, just what little money I had, I would take that and give and go to church and go to, every time I could find church, and I'd go to church and spend my life in church and give all my money in church and do everything in church. And he's expanded me and caused me to grow, caused my gifting to grow, And I've been able to do everything I possibly can for this kingdom. That's what he told us to do. Told you to do the same thing. And he called a church. Called it the church. And he said, now, you're in authority. Now you go rule and reign. Now first you got to rule and reign over yourself and take, Matthew said, to possess your soul. Take control of yourself first. Then you can start ruling and reigning. And he gives us a garden or a ground. And first he'll give you a job. And he said, now on that job, you do that job as you're working unto the Lord. And the Bible says you work to have money to give. Nowhere does the Bible say you work to meet your needs. He said he'd meet your needs. You work to have money to give, what Paul told Timothy. And so it's seed. You work to get seed to sow, money. And God said, I'll expand that and I'll grow that. And you start with one seed. You start with a quarter in life. You start with 50 cents in life. And God will and grow you to where you'll be in charge of a bigger field. And he gives everybody a boundary, everybody a perimeter. And he said, you stay inside that and do what you're supposed to in my church, then I'll increase you and give you authority, give you more reign, and give you more things to do. Amen? And so in this church, so we come into this thing called the church, and that's where we live. That's where we abide. That's where we get our life source. He said, if you're connected to the vine, then the branches will bear fruit. Well, that vine we're connected to is his body. John 15 talks about as the branch is connected to the vine, that vine we're connected to is his body. He said it was him, or that's his body, the church. You get connected. He that's planted in the house of God shall flourish, shall grow and bear fruit. And we're connected to that vine. Then we get connected in a local church. Then we begin to learn. We begin to learn what our gifting is and our talents and our authority and what we can do to become part of a big, something bigger than us, an organization. Then when we learn how it works and how it flows, after a while he'll give us promotion and we'll begin to flourish and we'll begin to do things. It's all in the church. If you're not connected, you don't have any life flowing into you. Amen? And so, and he established this church. It's a strong entity. And he said, now in this church, I'm going to put gifts. Is it hot in here to you? It's hot in here to me. Turn that heat off or whatever's on. What is it on, 75? I'll turn that thing off. Before I start taking my clothes off. You just pay attention then. Everybody start laughing at me and hurt my feelings. So in this church, he said, now, I'm going to put gifts in this church. First of all, gifts. And so in Ephesians 4, he put the fivefold ministry. And he said, in this church now, I'll call those out from amongst the church, and they'll be the teachers, the leaders. It'll be apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And he said there'll be gifts to the church, and they'll work and flourish in the church. And so then, and also in my body, when you're connected, I'll give you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will help you, and he'll teach you, he'll guide you, he'll lead you, he'll comfort you, and he'll show you things to come. Things to come is about your life. It's not about who the Antichrist is or when's the apocalypse and the four horsemen and all that. That's not letting have anything to do with your life. Don't have a thing in the world to do with your job or your education or where you're going, especially young people. The Holy Ghost said, I'll show you things to come. I will teach you and show you things, bring things to your remembrance and help you. Whatever he called you to do from the foundation of the earth is connected to the church. It's all in the church, this dispensation called the church. You're not you won't work until you connect it. You have to be connected. If people will ever learn that. Everything you do comes out of the church. Your promotion on your job comes out of the church. Your life will come out of the church. Who you meet, who you married, huh? Everything's connected to the body. And he said, then I'll give you the Holy Spirit, and he'll teach you. Now you go lead, you cause my church to grow. Make my kingdom expand. Then he said, I'll give you the Holy Spirit. Then I'll put gifts in this church. I'll give everybody the Holy Spirit, and there'll be 9 gifts. And these gifts will operate in you as the Holy Spirit wills for the growth of the church, or to help people in his church, his people. They need healing. They need word of knowledge, word of wisdom. They need revelation. They need these things. He knows that. He put it all inside the church to help us. There's no reason we can't overcome. There's no reason to fail. You have to ignore everything God's given you to fail. And he said, these gifts I've given you, they'll teach you the word, and the Holy Spirit will make it real to you, and he'll give you revelation, and I'll confirm it through the gifts of the Spirit. If you get sick, I'll heal you. And the body will heal itself. The body is designed to heal itself. And the body will heal itself. And the body will encourage itself. And it'll cause growth. And we'll all grow up in love. And we'll speak the truth in love. Whether you know it or not, the whole world and everything functions off of love. You take love out of anything, and it's nothing. It's all, we're meant to be loved. Everything, even a mangy old dog, is supposed to be loved, and it thrives in love. Old stray dog, stray cat, stray anything. You can change anything's nature by loving it. You can take an old mean biting dog and you be good to it and love it, and it'll change. You can change anything by love. We desire to be loved. Well, what kind of love? The agape love. That's the kind of love we need. That's unconditional love. Because when you first start or when you show up, I hope you don't want people to love you like you love. Dear Lord, we'd all be in a fight until we learn how. We want to be loved, but some people, they don't want love. You know, I want you to have a party, invite me. I don't want to do nothing. You just, everybody love me. Everybody love me. Well, agape love does. And we're supposed to love people. Well, you didn't start out like that. You have to change. You have to grow. And Jesus loves us. And in this thing called the church, then we grow up in love. And when we start functioning and flowing in that supernatural thing called love, everybody changes. Everybody changes. And we start functioning and growing. And we edify the body, lift up the body, and help the body, and give to each other. You see, when the church first started growing in chapter 5 of Acts, everybody came together and sold everything they had and put it in one pot to First Socialism. Well, it didn't work. That's the only time tried, but it didn't work. But they had a good heart. And they said, everybody don't have, we're going to make everybody equal. Well, they did. And it's fine in the blood, because everybody had a heart to love and help everybody. And so it was just flowing and going and doing good, see. But it was growing. But the devil gets into everything. He gets into everything. And he tries to mess everything up. And so we have to know that. But he put the gifts in the church, supernatural gifts, supernatural anointings, supernatural tongues to help us pray, supernatural insight and wisdom and all these things that he teaches us to love, and he loves us unconditionally. When we fall, he gets us up. And the Bible says, he that's spiritual among you, restore. And I hope, there's some spiritual people in the church to help us if we fall. This thing called the church. No matter where you go in the world, if you'll find a church, you're home. You're home. Feels just like this church. You might not understand the word they say, but it feels just like this church. It's called God's house. It's worth putting your money in. It's worth expanding. It's worth growing. It's worth sacrificing. As Paul says, I'm willing to spend and be spent for this thing called the church. Amen? But another thing he did for this church to help us, there's no reason we have to fail. No reason we can't overcome. No reason we can't make it. He called us to do a job. And he said, now I'll give you all these resources to help you. Well, what is our job? Most of our job is in a supportive role. All of us. We're in a supportive role. We're in the ministry of helps. Every single one of us is to help each other. Help the body grow. Help us expand. Help some preacher. Help somebody. Just help, help, help. It doesn't matter. If you become the greatest apostle on the earth, that just means you got more responsibility than anybody else. But you have to help more. That's all that means. And so thank God we can do it. And he said, then the whole world will see, even Satan will see and know the manifold wisdom of God through the church. But then he put in the church angels. Thank God for angels. And these angels, they help us. Now, see, we got the gifts, the five gifts of Jesus that he gave the body. Then he gave us the Holy Spirit. And he gave us, the gifts, the Holy Spirit. Then through the Holy Spirit, we got the nine gifts of the supernatural, nine gifts of the Spirit. Then there's the fruits of the Spirit, which we have to grow that. That's not free. The rest of it's free. Then we got Jesus interceding for us. We got the Word of God that overcomes everything. We got love for one another, and that causes us to overcome everything. Love can't fail. Then we got all that going for us. And he told us, said, you be in charge, and you go, and whatever you need, tell me. That's just like if I hired you on a job and said, now I want you to paint this wall, and whatever you need, you let me know. If you need more brushes or rollers or whatever you need, you tell me and I'll give it to you to paint that wall. That's the body of Christ. And we go over and sit in the corner and say, well, why aren't you painting the wall? Well, the Lord's in charge. That guy I work for, he's in charge. Well, he might be in charge, but he told you to paint the wall. But that's how some of us act when it comes to God's house. Well, God will do it. If God wants it done, he'll do it. God's doing everything. God's in charge of everything. God's in charge of America. God's running everything. Well, no, he's not. He told us to. But he said, whatever you need to do the job, I'll give it to you. He said, the works I've done, you will do, and greater than these will you do, because I go unto my Father, and whatsoever you ask in my name, I'll give it to you. What's that mean? To do the greater works. Or to do the works. Whatever you need to finish the work, I'll give it to you. Now your job is to, he takes you out of the mud. You're a loser. He sets you up, and what he wants from you is to become a winner. He wants from you to become an overcomer. All he wants from you is to be like Jesus. He wants you not to be a failure anymore. He wants you to be a success. He wants you to be a lover. He wants you to be kind and gentle. And that's what he wants from you. He don't want you to change the world. He wants you to change. And by you changing, you help change somebody else. And that just like a snowball. See, all he wants from you is to take this word and grow up into it. And change. And be mature. And be like Jesus. That's all he wants from you. Anybody can do that. People say to me all the time, I don't know what the will of God is for my life. Well, I do. Be like Jesus. That's all. Not to be the... I go back over home sometimes, or people who knew me, and they'll say, I can't believe how you've changed. One fellow said, I know one thing. When you got saved to the bone. That's what Jesus wants. If your life doesn't declare Jesus Christ, then you're not doing what he called you to do. He wants you to shine. You're salt of the earth. You are. And so if he had these little lights all over the world, there'd be no darkness. Be no darkness in the earth. There'd be lights everywhere. But see, you have to shine. You have to make yourself shine. Go on the job. Go in that dark place where everybody cusses and rants and raves and throws stuff. And you go in there and you change everything. You change the atmosphere. You begin to change. And your light begins. Sure, it's hard. But it's possible. And you go in there and you start being like Jesus. And you just start every day. After a while, you'll change the place. Amen. That's what he wants out of his kids to go to school. He don't want you to become like they are. That's not your job on this earth. Your job is to change them to be like you because you're like Jesus. That's all he wants from you. All he wants from you. Not to be in the pulpit and preach. He wants you to be like Jesus. And whatever we need. And so here he gave us angels. And with all that other help we've got, he said, now, I'm also going to give you some angels. Wow, thanks, Lord. And he said, now, they'll help you. Why, dear God, we can go anywhere, do anything, build anything, buy chairs, do whatever we want to, if we'll just use what God's given us. Have the right attitude, you know. Praise the Lord. Look here in Hebrews. Chapter 2. In verse, chapter 1, sorry. Verse 6, chapter 1. But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let the angels of God worship him. And the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But the Son of God says, your throne, O God, is forever. Your scepter of righteousness is a scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hate lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than anybody else. Hallelujah. I'll take that. You, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all grow old like a garment. That's the earth and the heavens. They'll grow old like a garment. Like a cloak, you will fold them up, and they will be changed. That's why I told you the universe is laid like this. And it says he's going to just fold them up one day. He's going to fold all of it up. Because it's growing old. And they will be changed. But you're the same. And your years will not fail. You don't get old, Lord. But to which of your angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand that I make the enemies your footstool? But he did us. He never told an angel that. But he did us. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who have inherited salvation? Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things which you've heard, lest any time we let them slip. Now, when did he ever say to any angel, sit here, I'm going to sit here until I make all my enemies my footstool. That's our job. No angel did he say that. Now listen, if you study anything about angels, you see angels somehow in a little bit in the Old Testament, but just here and there they would show up and they would help people. They like it to help Elijah, you know, and do certain things. One angel came and killed 187,000 people one night. But nowhere do you see angels in operation like you do in the church, in the New Testament. They when day one started in the church, before the church, you know, Jesus was born, angels declared his birth. An angel showed up to Zechariah, John the Baptist's daddy, spoke to him. The angel then told the shepherds where he was at. Then they went over and Herod showed up, you know. Then the angel showed up and showed Joseph, you got to leave, you got to go to Egypt. Then the angel showed back up, told him, you got to go back now. He's old enough. Then the angel began to direct them and direct it to wise men. Angels, look how many times they were involved in just the birth of Jesus and Jesus coming of age. Now, you don't hear much about it until he was ready to go into the ministry. For 40 days and nights, he fasted and was in the wilderness. And when he had been tempted with every temptation the devil could throw at him, an angel came and ministered to him. An angel came and ministered to him. See, you don't see that much operation of the angels in the Old Testament. But now, you know, let me show you just a few scriptures about angels. Is that good? Look with me in Matthew. We know this one, that we all have an angel. Amen? Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18. It says in verse 10, take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. Now he's talking about here, if you offend one of these little ones or you cause somebody to go astray or whatever, he said, now you better be careful not to despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. Their angel. Can you see that? Their angel. Do you know you have a guardian angel? Follows you till you die. And while you're here, he watches over you and protects you and takes care of you. And when you die, I don't know, I guess they get somebody else. They're transferred over to somebody else. But when you die, your angel carries you to heaven, takes you through that Satan's kingdom, goes through the all through that, and takes you to heaven, and probably presents you to the Father. Say, here he is. I've watched over him ever since he was born. Kenneth Hagin, you know, he was born. He weighed 2 pounds. Said he wasn't much bigger than a rat, and said, they didn't think he was alive, and so his grandmother, they wrapped him up in a little old diaper and put him in a shoebox, and she was taking him out in the edge of the garden going to dig a hole and bury him, and said when she had him out there, she was going to place him in the hole, and he jumped, and she went back in and said, he's not dead, and they began to work with him, and he started breathing. And said they had to feed him with a little eyedropper. And said one drop at a time. And said sometimes they'd give him too much at one drop. And he'd choke and said he'd turn his blue. They thought he was dead. They had to do that years. Well, later on, the angel appeared to him and told him, the Lord Jesus did, appeared to him and said, I watched over you and took care of you even before you was born. Because they thought his mother was not going to be able to have the birth and all that. He said, I watched over you until before you were even born. And while you were born, said, I gave my angels charge over you. When Hagin said, when she was starting to bury him, an angel touched him and caused him to jump. And she knew then that he wasn't dead. And so that angel took good care of you. But you have an angel. They're here now. They're in this house. And I believe that the Lord knows the end from the beginning, and those who have foreknowledge, and he knew they were called and do things just like I was, I believe he gives that angel charge to protect them before they ever get saved. Because I know that there's times I should have died. I know that. And if it hadn't been for God, on a credit, saved me. Because he knew what was coming. And he saved me because he knew that I'd say yes and I'd be in the ministry just like you. He saved me on a credit. The angels did. They watched us. And they take care of us. Glory to God. Amen. Well, it says over in Luke chapter 15 that there's joy in the presence of angels when one person gets born again. Now, that's the people in heaven rejoicing. I don't know. The angels are not. The angels don't know anything about salvation. They just see us getting saved. They're just got an assignment. I don't think they rejoice when we get saved. They don't know anything about salvation. It says there's rejoicing in the presence of angels. In the presence of angels. Or one translates among angels. Well, who's that in the presence of angels? All the saints that's gone on, your relatives and all that. When you get born again, they know it and they rejoice because they know what salvation is. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, Matthew 24, you don't have to turn to these. Matthew 24, 31, at the end of the age, the angels of God will gather all the elect. They'll be gathering angels. They'll get the harvest. They'll gather all the elect, all the saved people from the four corners of the earth and bring them in. Amen? Now, we're going to look the book of Acts, we'll look at some scriptures here were angels. They're not this active in the Old Testament. Why? Because we read that in Hebrews. When did he ever say to any angel, sit here till I make my enemies my footstool? The church wasn't in the Old Testament. And the angels, all their job was is to protect the patriarchs and the people to come to the day of Jesus Christ, to where the church could be birthed, that we could go into operation to do the finished work of Calvary. And the angels are to help us. And so they're here today, and their assignment is they work with us. The Bible says that in Psalms 103, that they listen to the word of God, and they obey the word of God, and they minister to us. That word minister is deacon or a waiter or a servant. They're our servants. They do our bidding. Now, that doesn't mean you can get up and say, angels, get out there and get me a new car. No, they work based on the word of God. When you're saying the word of God and you begin to say, bless God, the Lord has commanded me to do this, I'm doing this, and I'm confessing this with my mouth. This is what God said, and I'm obeying this. They go to work for you to make that happen. They go out and they influence people. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken, get them running over, shall men. Well, when you start giving and you start believing God, and your commission and your assignment is to build the kingdom of God and to help God's house, then those angels go out and begin to influence people to do business with you. Now, angels, I'm a tither. Now, angels, I'm a giver. Now, angels, I have the right attitude about this thing. I'm not trying to manipulate God. I'm not trying to give to get rich. I'm giving because I love God, want to help this, and I'm a giver. I have tithing rights. Now, angels, this business is my business. And this business is God's business. And what the Bible says, whatever I put my hand to will prosper. It says he give me power to get wealth. It says if I give, then men will give to my bosom. Angels, go out there now, begin to influence people to come here and do business with me. That's proper. That's the word of God. We can do that. It's not our voice. Well, it is our voice, but it's not our words. It's God's words that we're speaking. And Psalms 103 says, they obey the word of God, and they do the bidding of God. Hebrews there said, don't you know they're ministering spirits sent forth to minister to or for those who are heirs of salvation? They're to minister for us or to us. They're working with us. Angels, this business needs to grow. Now, there's also evil spirits that try to hinder it. You bind them up. Yes. Kenneth Hagin said he had a revelation of this. God showed him this. See, most of the doctrine he brought to the body of Christ, he was like Paul. He received it by revelation. He to teach us, and we, through that revelation he got, we don't have to get it. He got it. We just have to use it. So said he is in dire need of finances. And he is praying, believing God, doing everything he knew to do the way he prayed, you know. And it's all wrong, but the Lord appeared to him, told him, now this is how you pray, and this is what you do. He said, you take the word of God and you claim what you need. Now, I need $1,000 and I need it by the end of this month. Now, you claim that according to my word, according to my will. Then you bind the devil. You say, devil, you take your hands off my finances. You take your hands off of my money. I command you to take your hands off my money. Now, angels, you go out now and cause that money to come in. You go out now and cause that money to come to me. See, they're obeying God. And he proved it worked. Now, it'll work for you when you believe it strong enough. But you have to believe it. Amen? They're sent to work for us. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 5, are you enjoying this? Verse 19. Well, verse 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation. In other words, they are mad. And laid their hands on the apostles and put them in a common prison. But that night an angel of the Lord opened the prison door and brought them out and said to them, go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of life. And when they heard them, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught the people. And then the high priest got upset. And they went over there and said, and the guards were still at the door and the doors were still locked. And they opened the door. There was nobody in there. And they said, well, nobody come in now all night. How'd they get out of here? The angel of the Lord. Amen? Now, here is a deliverance. Angels can help deliver us. Amen? Acts chapter 8. Angels. They're working for us in this kingdom. Acts chapter 8, verse 25. This is about Philip going down to Samaria. Verse 24, then Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me that none of things which you have spoken may come upon me. And so they that testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages. Now an angel spoke to Philip and said, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down by Jerusalem to Gaza in the desert. Told him exactly where to go. Now he's helping him preach here. So he arose and went. Behold, an Ethiopian eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her money, was sitting there. And he went up, you know the story, and witnessed to him, got him born again. Now this is the guy in charge of all the money. That's a good one for the kingdom. Amen. Now, I know the angel, Philip, was in the middle of a revival. And the angel told him, now you do this. Oh, there's so many stories about people in the body of Christ seeing and hearing angels. We'd be here all night. I just told you some of the things I've read. They're working them in our midst. Amen? In Acts chapter 10, we don't have to turn there, but that's the instruction for Cornelius. Remember, the angel appeared to Peter, and he had a vision, and the angel came and told him where to go and where to do and what to say. Told Cornelius. Cornelius got saved. He is the first Gentile. Amen. Now we know in Acts chapter 12. See, this is a church. You don't find this much angelic activity in all of the Old Testament. Now this is the beginning of the church, early stages of the church. If they had to have that much activity of angels in the starting and the beginning of the church, how much more do we need in the finishing of the church? We need to expect angels to help us. We need to expect them to help us. We see here a deliverance. We see instructions. We see a word of knowledge. We see a warning. Besides that, they go out and cause men to give to our bosom. Angels. I've sold vehicles like this, sold cars like this. Now, angel, I know there's somebody out there wanting this. You get out there and find them. You get out there and find them, angel. And I go through the, you know, plead my case before God. I'm a giver. I'm a tither. I obey God. Now, I need help here. The Holy Spirit's our helper, but we got angels. Book of Acts, chapter 12, said there's, you can't count them. Can't count all the angels. That means there's a lot. In Acts chapter 12, we see in verse 7 and 10, Peter, verse 7, now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light come into the prison and lit the whole prison up and said, get up quick. And he got up and his chains fell off. Then the angel said to him, put your clothes on. Then he said to him, put your shoes on, tie them. So he did. He woke Peter out of a sound sleep. Now they're going to kill Peter the next morning. And the angel couldn't hardly get him up. I'm not sure at this time Peter knew it was an angel. He said, put your clothes on, put your shoes on, tie your shoes. And he said to him, put on your garments and follow me. So put your clothes on, Peter, but tie your shoes. So he went out and followed him and did not know that it was an angel. But though he was seeing a vision, thought he was seeing a vision. And when they passed the first, second guard, they came to an iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them on its own. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, now I know for a certain that the Lord sent an angel and delivered me from these Jewish people that are going to cut my head off. Well, God's no respecter of persons. We got this story, you know, James that got delivered. Amen. Now over in Acts 27 was Paul, you know, when he had that shipwrecked, he said, now, fellas, don't be alarmed. An angel appeared to me and told me that nobody was going to die. If you will listen to me, everything will be okay. Amen? Now, if you read the book of Revelations, you really get an account of angels. All through the book of Revelations, they start out, first of all, bringing the message to the pastors. All through, we even see that there's one place that said angels carry prayers from the people to the throne of God. Amen. Here they were helping Peter in Acts chapter 12, for the people was praying for him, remember? And the angel answered that prayer. But as over in Revelation said, the angels were taking prayers to the throne of God. I guess there's certain special prayers the angels deliver personally. Amen. Then we see in the book of Revelations, the angels preaching. Flying through the heavens preaching. Now, they're not going to preach now. That's up to the church. That tells me the church is gone. There's no church here on the earth. But now angels can't preach. That's why they told Peter and told Cornelius and told all of them here and told Philip, you go down here and preach. Why didn't an angel go preach? Well, he can't. That's up to the church. It's our job now. But in Revelation, we see angels preaching that tells me the church is not on the earth, it's in heaven. So The angels were preaching. Then it tells me in Revelation that one angel gets Satan by the nape of the neck, like Mama did that her first cousin, and throws him in the bottomless pit. Satan, one angel. See, God, you got some pretty tough people on your side. Amen? Now, there's one scripture I want to show you that's really, you can find all kind of commentaries on this, 1 Corinthians, on this, and a lot of confusion. Some people don't understand it, don't know what it means, and a lot of commentaries. In Acts, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Amen. Are you enjoying this?
Yes.
I went through everything real fast. Studied as much. You ought to go in and just look up on the inner tube all the people who has seen angels, had things to do with angels, quality people, you know. It's amazing. The Bible says in Hebrew to be careful when you entertain strangers, because you're entertaining angels unaware. Angels, the Greek word for angel or Hebrew word, messenger. Just a messenger. Well, the word apostle means messenger. The word preacher means messenger. That's why in Revelation chapter 1, 2 through there, where it's talking to the angels at the church of so-and-so, that's pastors. The angels are bringing a message to the messenger in each church, which that messenger is the pastor. Angels don't pastor. I believe there's angels over every church and in every church. But God's saying there, if you don't repent, I'm going to take your place away or your influence or your anointing. He's not going to tell angels that. No need to fire an angel. It's talking to the pastor. But anyway, they're all through the book of Revelation. But here's one in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It says, let's start reading in verse 7. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head. Get your cap off, boys. Since he is the image and the glory of God. But women is the glory of man. For man is not from women, but women from man. Nor was man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. But really, the woman came from the man, and every man that's on this earth came from the woman. You know? So it also says in this, in verse 12, look, for as a woman came from man, even so man also come through woman. But all things are from God. Judge among yourself. Is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head covered or uncovered? Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is dishonoring to God? Now that word nature tricks you. That word nature means custom there. They interpret that wrong. Nature doesn't tell you that's wrong for a man to have long hair. How's nature going to teach you that? You ever see a long-haired pig? No, you've not. But that's talking about customs there. So that's really confusing when Paul's talking about this. But what I want you to see is verse 10 or 9-10. For was man created for the woman, but the woman was from man. For this reason, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. Now that is a wild scripture there. You just read over that and don't know what that means, but you have to really kind of meditate on that and rightly divide the word to make sense out of that. God told Moses when he was going through taking the children of Israel into the promised land, he said, now I'm going to send an angel with you. Do not provoke him. Whatever you do, don't upset that angel. You better just mind your own business and do what you said, but don't provoke your angel. Amen? Well, here it says that the woman, having her head covered, and that's the custom of the day, and it's still in a lot of countries, the women keep their head covered, especially in church. You go to India, this way. They won't pray unless their head's covered. And they go to church, their head's covered. That is a sign of submission. That means Bible order. They're in submission. They're not out of order. They're not in rebellion. They've submitted themselves to proper government, which the man and the wife, God, Jesus, Holy Ghost, man, wife. God set it up that way. Women's lib can't change it. American women, you can sweat all you want to, but you're not going to change it. Amen? It doesn't mean servant. Doesn't mean slave. The Bible says, well, that's under a curse where a woman's a servant of the man, but now we're equal. But when it comes to authority, the man. Now, believe me, I just soon change it and let the women be in charge and they can get stand before God. I say, get him, Lord. Get her, Lord. Get her. Oh, no. I left standing before God. Joe, you get the blame, man. Women, you'll get blame whether you submit it. Only in America this like is, this women's lib stuff. Not in any other nation. Are you out there? I better get off of that real fast. I can tell. And it says here, you got to have this symbol of authority, or you got to be in proper order, or you have to be in proper government order because of your angel, or because of the angel. Well, what's that mean, the angel? Well, if you get to searching that out and studying that, there's all kind of different comments or things on that. But Ephesians talks about the church as an authority, and it demonstrates the wisdom of God to principalities and powers. The demon spirits, which are fallen angels, look into the church. They're trying to find something wrong. They're trying to find a doorway into the church. In your home, they're trying to find a doorway. They're trying to find a crack into something where they can attack or come in. So we have to show forth the wisdom of God. We have to be in authority. You have to be under authority. You have to submit to authority. You have to honor authority. You can't be in rebellion because of the angel. That means dark angels, wrong angels. It also means good angels. When you're out of authority and you're in rebellion and you're trying to do your own thing with your own attitude, even your angel can't work. You tie their hands. There's nothing they can do. You shut them down. They can't work for you, neither can the Holy Spirit work. Where strife and confusion is, there's every evil work. And even though God's given his angels charge to help us, they can't do anything because we are out of authority. We're in rebellion. Now, why do you think Satan fights so hard in the home or whatever to get us all messed up? It works on the men's side, same as it does the women's side, because the angels. He said, there's a spirit realm that's watching every move we make. There's a spirit realm that's checking us out all the time, even in here now. Angels, good angels and bad angels watching us. Amen? The good angels are working on our behalf in proper authority, proper government, proper attitude. When we're honoring the word, evil angels are against us when we don't. Amen? Well, stand up with me. Did you enjoy that? Because of the angel. Paul's telling these ladies, and the reason they did this, that some of these women were in rebellion. They was coming to church, had their head uncovered, they was dressing, because they in Corinth there, there's a lot of prostitutes in these temples. And they was walking up the street, and some of these women started dressing like the prostitutes. Paul was saying, listen, you're dishonoring God with the way you're dressing. You're dishonoring God by your actions. You're dishonoring God, and the people can't tell you from the world. And because of that, he said, you better get back to how God set it up, because, and don't ignore the fact there's angels watching us. Amen? Well, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, thank you tonight that we do have angels. Thank you, Lord. We've been given authority, ability to rule, ability to lead, ability you've set us up, Lord, the church. The church. Angels are been given us to help us. The Holy Spirit helps us. Gifts help us. Operation of supernatural anointing helps us. Why are we failing? Why can't we overcome? Why can't we win? Because we can't discipline our own self. We don't possess our souls. We get the I quit mentality, or I give up mentality. Help us, Lord. We can overcome. We can overcome our own self, our own feelings, our own emotions. We can also overcome anything the devil brings our way, because you've made us overcomers in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. You're dismissed.